Hey everybody, Carlo D'Angelo coming at you with another episode of The Criminal Lawyer. The government might be shut down, but I am open and bringing you basic concepts in criminal law, criminal procedure. Last time we talked, we were talking a little bit about the basic elements that every crime need. And we talked about the fact that there had to be an actus reus and a mens reus. There had to be a physical act and there had to be some mental state or mens rea behind that act. I want to go a little deeper into mens rea. Mens rea basically is the culpable state of mind. In other words, when you commit an act, is it backed by some state of mind to commit that act? Now, this generally breaks into a couple of different types of what are called intent. You either have in a crime a mens rea for general intent, or you have a mens rea for specific intent. Now, there is a splinter that's off of these two, which is where a crime is committed recklessly or with extreme negligence, where you don't necessarily have to have an intent. It's more like there's a lack of intent because you've committed the crime in a reckless or negligent fashion. In other words, you had not a care in the world for the consequence of your behavior. Now, when you're talking about general intent crime, this is a crime that usually can be shown by an offender who desired to commit the act which served as the actus reus. We talked last time about the actus reus being the actual act in furtherance of the crime. When you have a general intent crime, it is simply enough for you to act in furtherance of that general intent. The typical example that you'll see a lot in law school is a battery. A battery is an unwanted touching of another person. If you simply have the general intent to touch, physically injure, or offensively touch another person, well, you have the actus reus because you touched the person. And you have the general intent in the form of a mens rea to commit the battery. You don't need to have any other ulterior motive or see beyond the simple act of striking the other person. That's a general intent. Now, you have the other end of the spectrum, which is a crime that requires a specific intent. A specific intent crime means that there has to be some mental state that goes beyond just the act of committing the crime. The very basic analogy and example that you'll see in this is a burglary of a habitation. A burglary is breaking into someone's home without their consent and committing a crime while inside the habitation or home. In order for you to be found guilty of burglary, you have to be found to have the general intent to enter the property of another. And the breaking is a very subtle thing because it just means crossing through the boundary, like the door frame or the window frame of someone's habitation. That is enough. Once you have made that entry, when you are inside, you've at least at this point committed a trespass because you've gone in there with the intent to enter without the person's consent. What elevates it now from a simple trespass into someone's home into a burglary is that you had the specific intent to commit a crime while inside. That can be anything from a theft. You enter the home, you see the color TV on the wall, you decide to steal the color TV. At that moment, you have basically framed the specific intent to commit a burglary. And a theft in the course of that burglary is that specific intent. So that is basically the two types of intent that we have. I also talked, of course, about the ones that don't necessarily have an element of specific or general intent, like negligence or recklessness. We'll stop here for today. Again, if you have any interest in knowing more about this, I invite you to please subscribe to this podcast. It's available on iTunes, or you can check me out on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, or at my website, all of them under D'Angelo Legal. Thanks. See you soon.